morning and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smithers blooms in athletics and sports. Well, just going to give you a recap of what happened last week when I was speaking at the Women of Color in STEM on the campus of NC State. This was the culmination of several series of workshops catering to the women of color in STEM and in hopes to build and grow their confidence in an area where there's so few. So, you know, we in the garden, we do something very similar just in the athletics and sports world. So I was really excited about bringing the framework of growth mindset versus fixed mindset and the assessment that I created, the assessment and the tool, how to use a tool that will help you identify what will take you off your track and how to course correct. And so that was great. I want to say thank you to Dr. Sonia Shaw, who is the founder of Women of Color and Recreation in Parks. And she is an NC State graduate of the PhD program, the first Black woman inside their sports tourism department. And so she brought me to be with her tribe for a moment. And I just want to say, really, I'm so grateful. And more importantly, for the garden members who came out to support me, and Jamla Harrison, who serves as our engineer here, Michelle Christie, who is a former member of the Advanced Academy. That's our membership program where we meet once a month to bond and to be a resource for each other. And so she is from the Raleigh area. And then, oh my goodness, Dr. Sandra Wall Williams, who is actually on the board in NC State, and she and I are members of the Black Speakers Network. So she came out to support me, and she actually spoken earlier within the series. And you all, have you ever been to something and you have an impromptu meeting? She gave an impromptu masterclass on how to get paid to be on boards. It was enlightening. I mean, so, you know, after we did our speech and whatnot, then we had our box lunches and we just sat around. And man, when I tell you she gave the masterclass, I said, if you make this formal, you have got a customer. Because, you know, many the people in attendance were saying, you know, we know about being on boards, nonprofits, and, you know, you just volunteer, you know, you do your time. And so, interesting enough, I was aware because when I served in the conference office, I prepared the board meetings, which included presidents of the universities and colleges at the CIAA. And so, I remember, it really dawns on me why they responded. So somehow or another, the president, you know, would refer to themselves serving on such and such board. And they were actually, because they're on the board of the CIAA, which is absolutely different than corporate boards, you know, they would turn in their requisition, and they were looking for additional compensation. And then I would hear, oh, yes, on the board where I serve so-and-so, we do so-and-so. So I knew that you could get paid to be on the board. I just thought it was only on the presidential level when you retire or that. So Dr. Sandra Wall Williams, who was a retired higher ed professional as a VP of community college in North Carolina, definitely does fit that bill. But she was saying your expertise and where you are, consider other areas. And I was like, man. So needless to say, my trip to Raleigh was quite successful. Speaking about the Advanced Academy, we did have a very successful session on Sunday. So we meet every third Sunday at 9 p.m. And if you all know me, I'm always reading a book. And I had just finished the audio book of Colin Harris, Lead to Win. And I've been reading on it, and it just ended so well because it was a conversation I was having with another colleague of how many women ever since the end of February, have been terminated. And for various reasons, but most of it was their ability to manage people and to be able to work with other people. And listening to Carla Harris, who served on from the financial sector, Morgan Stanley, but being, you know, one of the only women to do that, she had to come across something very similar. And she wrote the book because many managers were asking her and leaders how to lead during the pandemic. How do I do blank? Because, again, people come out this situation differently. It is, I'm going to go where I am valued because, you know, life is short, you know, all of that. And there's shortages everywhere. Even in athletics, there's a real big shortage in officials. So, you know, she was saying that we have to unlearn some of the tactics that were in the workplace prior to. And one of them is the fear factor. People have a fear of being fired, so they'll put in more time. No, people have to feel valued in order to put in more time. So these were just interesting pieces. And one of the first chapter was, in which we talked about on Sunday, was going from contributor to leader. And the thought process, I'm just going to hold my head down, do my work, and I'll be noticed. And that's over as well. You have got to be forward thinking and take the risk of sharing where we should be. And I always say we got to go back and go get that rookie smart, because most young people don't have anything to lose. So they are always sharing and don't have that fear of embarrassment or don't have that fear of being fired. But someone who has a mortgage, have children in college, they take more calculated risk or don't take risk at all. They become contented. And that is a recipe for a disaster. And so, yeah, so every third Sunday, either I bring the expertise or I have a guest expert come in. But more importantly, it's like whatever I say is like a cue for everyone else to share some. So from this, it was like sharing resources, how to think forward thinking, you know, to discover where the holes are and be the answer. And so around the room, the virtual room rather, it was sharing different resources, things such as grants, connections with your legislature, you know, your state legislature. Because that's going to be a key. Even if you're a private institution, there's some ways to get those monies. And so, oh, my goodness, just some great, great insights. So if you're interested in joining some like-minded women who are on the path of advancing athletic administration, inbox me, Monique A.J. Smith, at seedsofempowerment.info. And I will really, more importantly, you know, we just can get on the phone and talk about it if this is what you're needing. Because, again, we can get further together. It's happening this Sunday, April 23rd. We Coach is landing in Hampton, Virginia, at the Boo Williams Sportsplex with a reception at 12 noon and a power panel at 1 p.m. And that panel includes Tara Owens, the athletic director, University of Maryland Eastern Shore; Toya Hilliard Gray, Deputy Athletic Director, Elizabeth City State University. Dr. Paula Jackson, Assistant AD for External Affairs at Norfolk State University. And moderating and host is Dr. Inka Wicker McCree, retired athletic director from North Carolina Central and a consultant in athletic administration and higher ed leadership. Did that not sound like a power-packed panel? So the audience are women coaches at all levels, youth, grassroots, high school, college. And we want to be able to show you how to level up to the next level. All of these women have either coached and moved up to administration or been in administration and hired coaches. So we want to give you the tools to get to your next. And this is a pre-event to the HBCU High School Unsigned Senior Showcase. So that will take place from 3 to 7. So two call to action. If you are anywhere on the East Coast, you need to find your way to Hampton, Virginia, April 23rd, on Sunday at 12 o'clock. It's a free event. We're going to have food, and we're going to network. You need to be there, no doubt. And then if you have a senior who is a basketball player, male or female, who has not received an offer, you need to get them signed up. You need to get them signed up. So they can sign up at BooWilliamsBball.org. Again, BooWilliamsBball.org. Because, again, the drive is to get coaches from HBCU. Assistant coaches are welcome to this event to get our young people on our college campuses that they may not know that there's a home for them there. Okay, now, let me just say this. You need to register ASAP, bit.ly/WeCoachLevelUp. Again, bit.ly/WeCoachLevelUp. Capital W, capital C, capital L, and UP. And the reason why I say that, it's because only those who are registered will get entry. Because right before we had this event, we'd be in the middle of having the end of the Nike tournament. It's 240 teams. So I want you to get registered, because when I reach my max, you know, my registrations, because the people are always going to be in the house. So I'm reaching out to you if you want to be in the house, if you want to be able to network with other women in the coaching field and want to be able to level up, you need to be in the room where it happens. I'm here to tell you. So shout out to WeCoach for asking us, could they join our HBCU Unsigned Seniors event, and for Dr. Ingrid Wicker McCree to oversee the grant that's connecting with us. And she was the person, the catalyst for this happening. And I say, what we do here in the garden, we what? Grow together. And so I'm really appreciative of that. Those attending the event this Sunday will receive a copy of the fifth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports, featuring the true trailblazer, and mentor, Alfreda Gall. And other individuals that are in it is Ray Campbell. She has an article about being a Swiss Knight of athletics. Coach Mikeeta Dixon, the advocate coach. We have a whole section, honestly, about social justice. We have the coach for lacrosse team for Delaware. How did she prepare her young people for that encounter with the police on the interstate? That takes a skill, and that is her expertise, because I had thought, so you need to get this copy in your hand so you can either go to Amazon and pick that up, or you can go to our store, seedsofempowermentstore.com. Again, seedsofempowermentstore.com, and get your copy today. Hey, right before the show, I was watching Seawall Foundation parent group, Seawall Sports Entertainment, and Candy Waller was interviewing Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes on her show, and I got to go back and finish it, but yeah, she's our sister and a media partner for the Chattanooga Garden. And that being said, she really does want to help our next generation. So she created the Seawall Foundation to offer media training for student athletes. And I really believe in this because with name, image, and likeness on deck, this is really important training. Candy Waller, is again, has extensive background in entertainment, but she has encountered some things that she wants to prepare our young people. And I'm excited about introducing this to our youth, our grassroots program, because they're getting on social media. Teams are going where they can get social media exposure. And so, you know, when you finish that little tournament, you go to the Stephen Lee Pete, and then you interview like on the red carpet. And these little young folks don't know what to say. And we want to make sure that just don't copy what they see inappropriately. So she wants to prepare our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. So to get your information about bringing her to campus or how to enroll your student athletes, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org. And also supplying information to our student athletes is a book that I really think you need to have on your bookshelf that really enlightened me. It's Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And so Tawana is actually going to have another book out as well. But this book was purchased by the NFL for the participants of the Celebration Bowl. So if you don't want to take my word for it, the NFL thought it was a great resource, you should too. And the curse, if you're wondering what that is getting money and then losing the money. And one of the things we need to have an understanding is even with this name, image, and likeness piece, these young folks have no clue about taxes. So these are the things that she's saying of how to assist these young people of knowing who to have on their team. And it really is an Uncle Joe who has a car dealership and does his own taxes that he should be the person. She has real life accounts of individuals who had money and lost, and then kind of tell you some ways of how to tell your family member, I love you, but this is not something that you can help me with. So that's on Amazon in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Again, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And a shout-out to Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant from Vigilant Safety Training Center. She likes to say she's taking policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sport and event staff certification, work-based safety and personal training, and operations. I'm really glad to be able to partner with someone with such a vast knowledge. And like, it's like she's like a computer. She can scan a room and go, warning, warning, warning. So she actually has a free assessment that you can take to see what areas do you have some warning signs and be able to give you some resources. So to go to her website, go to vigilancestc.com. That's vigilancestc.com. VIGILANCE STC.com. And lastly, just want to take a pulse read with our audience. Who is meeting me in L.A. at the Black Student Athlete Summit? It takes place in on a USC campus in L.A. May 21st through the 24th. I will be working the conference and supporting two of my clients who are speaking, so I'm just thrilled about that. But those who know about it know I have an annual breakfast. This year will take place Monday morning at 6 a.m. Now, you do not want to miss being at this table, because there are things that happen at our table. Jobs are getting handed. I think it was the very first one we had. A young lady went from private practice to be on a college campus. And that was not the intent, but it just happened. So if you want me to add you to my table count, inbox me, Monique A.J. Smith at SuzanEmpowerment.info. So now is the time to invite, I'm so excited, our guest of the hour is Attorney Savonia DeBarros, the protector of athletes. Welcome to the garden, Attorney DeBarros. Thank you so much for having me here. I am totally thrilled, okay? Just totally thrilled. because, we have a business group that we became really good connections from. So I know you. I want everybody else to know you, because you come from this tribe. So tell everyone about your career from college to now.
What have I learned?
No. Tell everybody about your career path from college.
Oh, about
to
my
now.
Career. Oh my gosh. So, one thing I always explain to people, I've kind of had some of the same traditional paths, but because of who I knew myself to be and what I wanted, I feel like it was different in that way too, comparing myself to other former athletes and even current athletes. But my path was, for all intents and purposes, very linear. I was always this go-getter. I knew exactly what I wanted my dream to be and become. I always had this dream of being an attorney and protecting other people. Didn't know that years later I would actually be coined the protector of athletes. So everything that I did was in alignment of me reaching that goal of becoming an attorney. So when I got ready to go to college, I was researching, okay, what majors should I have? Like, my mom didn't know. I didn't know any lawyers in my family. Didn't know anyone in my community that looked like me that was a lawyer. So there was research that had to be had. And my mom, she did some research too, and she was like, well, I think maybe you should major in political science. I'm like, okay, cool. So I ended up being a poli-sci major. I minored in criminology. From an early age, I had this passion of helping my people, and primarily that came through the lens of criminal law. Where I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, I've witnessed. So if anyone has ever read my first book, What Are You Sporting About? I talk about that experience, seeing my cousin tackled by police, and it was so traumatizing. Oh. I was about 13 at that time, and it just relit that fire in me from a dream that I had as a babe of wanting to be a lawyer. So on that path to accomplishing that goal, I always knew I had to put myself in this position to be able to right some wrongs, whatever that might look like. So while in college, I competed full-time student athlete. I worked. I lived off campus as well. So I had a full plate compared to some of the other student athletes.
a complete full plate. I would take 16 credit hours, 18 credit hours, whatever it took. Ended up being awarded as a student athlete all-star with Big East Conference because I maintained over 3.0 GPA during that time of being a student athlete. And one thing that I think I probably made the biggest mistake was not building certain relationships with my teammates. So I've never been that entourage type of person. Like, I don't need a whole bunch of people around me to tell me that I'm this and I'm that, or to feel like, you know, I have to be in this person's space to have this good grace. Like, I just never gave a damn. You know, it was like, if I like you, I like you. If you don't like me, whatever, you know. So that was kind of like the mindset I had because I was so focused and fixated on the dream that I had of becoming an attorney. So I built more of those relationships with, like, my advisor, my athletic advisors, my coaches, mm-hmm. my professors, those types of things. And, yes, it helped me. It helped me get to a place where I wanted to be. But ultimately, when I looked back, some of those smaller relationships that I had with my teammates, they were still intact, but I could have done a better job of really cultivating those relationships because guess what? Some of those same friends are in the sports industry or know somebody else that's in the mm-hmm. sports industry. So that's definitely something that I talk about a lot with student athletes now is don't forget to really cultivate and build those relationships with the people who are in the same space and on the same level as you because it's not so much mm-hmm. of you needing to go to step up to somebody who looked like they made it for you to get into a room because you could get there, but those initial relationships is what's going to help you to stay and to continue to grow in that space. So my trajectory, like I said, it's a little girl with a dream and just constantly on that grind mode to make sure it happens. But even once I got there, it was like, okay, now this is a whole nother level of grind. There's a whole, you know, a lot more things that I have to do. I'm the first in my family to become an attorney, first in my family to actually own a law practice. So that in itself has its challenges and just, you know, understanding law from that perspective, but also putting myself in a position and in room to continue to grow, not just from the professional aspect, but also from that personal perspective so I can really show up and be the best person I can be, but also be that beacon and that protector for my clients.
Wow. Well, you know I got questions. So the first of the questions are for my young people. I have several students who wish to get their law degree and to serve the athletes holistically. What advice do you have to them, and who are your role models in the sports law space?
Oof. You know what? I don't think I really have a role model in the sports law space because I never knew that being a sports and attorney was a thing. Like, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that for years. We didn't have a sports law program at my law school, I don't think. And if we did, it was like a very silent thing because I never knew about it. But also where I grew up, I just didn't know that that was an option. So my advice would be this. One, think about how you want to serve. Is it the law? Do you need the law to do that? If it is, okay, cool. You know, take that route. But sometimes I think we have made up in our heads that we have to be in these, what we've coined as these top industries in order to make an impact, and it's not necessarily true. We have multimillionaire blue-collar business owners, you know? So really think about how you want to make an impact and whether being in the legal industry, being a lawyer specifically, if that is the way, if that's what you need to make that impact. If not, okay, if you still need to be in the legal industry, what position or job should I take inside the legal industry to make an impact? The legal industry or law school itself is a very expensive thing. And for students that are coming out and passing the bar, the jobs that are typically out there are not going to pay you what you're worth based on the amount of investment that you spend for law school. My other advice would be even if it's someone that, even if you don't know an attorney, you can find them. Find them. I found my mentor, who is a very successful labor and employment attorney. I found him just as a young lawyer because I needed to sue somebody, and I had a question. So I went and was researching the online case database, and I ended up running across his name. And we, next thing you know, we're on the phone for like 2 hours. We met up for lunch a few times, and that, you know, the third time I was like, look, would you be my mentor? And he said yes. And to this day, I mean, we talk about everything under the sun, from personal to professional. We talk about our clients. We talk about fee shifting, setting fees, all sorts of things, litigation. I mean, we can. This is the only person I know that I can sit on the phone and talk about the law for hours, and it's just so fun. It's fun to me. So finding your mentor, whether you've known of a previous lawyer before or not, find them. And they don't have to practice in the same field as you, but just having that valuable insight of how they've navigated the legal space is critical, I feel like. It's just super critical. So I hope that helps somebody.
Well, you know, one of the young ladies that I talked to, I was like, you know, because she was going to take some time. And she was looking at internships. I said, well, because I taught you, I think compliance is really good for you. Because it's the same type of, because she wants to be an advocate for athletes, but it's the same eye for detail, so you have an opportunity to fight in the form of waivers, you know, and with the portal and them changing. Because at first, you know, you could be in the portal and just keep going and switch and switch and switch. But now they've gone back to you only can be in the portal one time. You got the COVID cases. You know, kids are always like, I got my COVID year. So there's going to be some opportunities to help them navigate bylaws that just come about out the blue. And it was not in there when they started. So hopefully she'll take my advice about that. And I had thought about law school almost like 20 some years ago. And then, but I was, and my issue was I had a student athlete to ask me, how to pick his agent. And that was again, like 1998. And then it happened to again to me this year, a football player says, do I know of any agent? And I was like, wow. But I know that I got a pool to be back and pull from versus me not doing it. And so some of it is you thinking you need to do blank because, you know, we have people like, I need to have this certification, I need to have this, I need to have this. And just do what you just did, which was to look and then reach out to a name that you see. And LinkedIn really does make that so much easier. So one of the people that my students brought to my attention that I sought out and I went to a conference so I could meet her is Nicole Lynn. So her rise as a NFL agent and in her book, Agent You, she actually tells, this people don't really realize, this sports part was a side gig. She worked in a law firm practicing contract law. And so, yeah, like you just said, you're not going to be straight out the gate, put your shingle out, and be able to work. So, and now she works for Clutch Sports and just got promoted. How do you think this changes landscape for women in sports, period?
That's a great question. So how do I think this changes the landscape for women in sports based on, I'm assuming, the trajectory of Nicole Lynn? I think what it does is it shines a light that there are multiple levels of pivoting that one has to do. So, you know, when I explain to people what I do, I've been representing athletes anyway, you know, outside of me being an agent. And I don't think people recognize the fact that contract law, having trial skills, understanding business and business structures and how you can protect your clients' interests are all still a part
of that whole mechanism. So in all, you know, respects, I am an agent in some ways. I'm just not an NSL certified agent, and I'm going to put the air quotes on there and say yet because I had to put out a poll.
Right, right.
I'm like, I don't know what you're waiting for. But at the end of the day, I think seeing her growth, but also not just that, but seeing people, because Nicole got put on the map by a young athlete who was, you know, up for the draft, ended up getting picked first round, and that put her on the map, you know, as an agent. And now she is, I would say, maybe a sought-out agent, especially for young black athletes. And I love that because they're showing how black women are showing up and can still show up in this space. And unfortunately, I don't like the fact that, especially when industries become extremely large, black women tend to get pushed to the side or muted in some way, right? Technically and historically, we don't have the resources and the finances to make a big shift or bang in the industry unless we pretty much pool all our resources together. So seeing someone like her that's from our community who started similarly as many, many amazing young female athletes that may even just think about or have an inclination that, okay, I want to work in sports, but I don't really know how. I think her trajectory and what she's been able to accomplish so far really just shows you it doesn't matter really where you start from. It's just continuing on that journey and seeing where it takes you, which means that you're going to have to pivot. Like, if I can be honest, I don't want to be an agent. I never thought that I had to be an agent, but one of my clients told me, it was like, I just think it's the natural thing for you. You are the protector of athletes. But I've shown up in a space of continuous protection for years, and not just with athletes, but business owners, mid-six millionaires, you know, so trust where you are right now. I would say don't rush the process, but trust where you are. Definitely get the experience that you need. Understand what you're doing. Like, don't just show up in a space and say, I want to do something. Do it right. You know, do it with full credibility and authenticity. Be who you are, because I'm going to tell you one thing. Savonia the Burrows ain't changing for nobody. Like, when you see me, you hear me, this is who and what you get. And I also feel like that is what agents Nicole's clients get. They can see the real her versus, you know, investing your time and your money and energy in an agent, and then you don't know where the hell your money is or what's going on. Agents can't explain nothing to you, which has been a major problem for years. And so that's my advice. I think that's exactly what I think her pivot and success so far is. Just it's going to be a foundation for so many other young black females.
Yeah, I was watching All American, and they even used the term, you Nicole Lennon there, right? And I was like, oh, Lord, she didn't turn to a verb. You know, like you should go Google something, you know? So, but
yeah,
that's a good problem. That's a good problem. So we're going to take really a short break here in the chat in the garden. And when we return, we're going to talk about your endeavors.
Okay, let's do it.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here with Smithers Blooms of Athletics and Sports. So here is my question about your endeavors, and you have got several. So let's start with the one that I began with. Last year, I had the pleasure to serve on as a moderator of a panel at your virtual event, the NIL Combine. Let's talk about why you protect athletes and why did you create the NIL Combine?
Ooh, all right. I love those questions. So let me answer the first one, the second one first. Why do I protect athletes? It's first off, it's in my nature. It's in my nature to be a protector. I'm the eldest of four kids, and I've just kind of always taken that role inside of my relationships. It didn't matter what it was. But one thing that I've seen over and over again for years, and it just felt like a natural connection for me, is the advantage over athletes, and specifically over professional athletes. Constantly seeing the exact same stories play over. Yeah, you just change out the name, change out the fact pattern, but at the end of the day, the result is always the same. And as a new lawyer, I had the urge and the fire to represent them, because I'm like, come on, we got to know better. Like, how y'all keep letting these people do this stuff to you? Like, you don't see homeboy over there that's doing that? They're the same thing? But for some reason, people have in their mind, okay, well, this can't happen to me, but the truth of the matter is it can. But not only that, it's not just about someone stealing from you. It's also setting up your legacy. We don't think about legacy enough. And unfortunately, especially in the Black community, and I can go on and on about this, you know, from a historical perspective, but we think so short term that we think about, oh, we got to get this money now, and I'm going to go and buy this chain, I'm going to buy this car, I'm going to go buy my parents a big-ass house that they can't even afford. So when the game is over, you ain't protected shit. Like, you still starting over from day one. You have nothing. And that's a part of protection. Like, how can you make sure that you've created a sustainable way of multiplying the money that you receive now? Because guess what? Professional athletes are a very small percentage of millionaires who receive millions of dollars in a very short period of time. And if you haven't been responsible with that, you haven't figured out how you can duplicate your money when the game is over, you have nothing. And you're in a disarray. You're in disrepair. So I felt that it was necessary, not only from a legal perspective, to come in and help and support professional athletes, one, so they can understand who they're doing business with, but two, recognizing who are you as an individual that you keep attracting the same foolishness to you that's going to steal from your legacy. So that's that piece. And obviously it has moved into the college space, especially because student athletes now have the ability to monetize their name, image, and likeness. NIL is an amazing thing. It's something that I have always helped my clients with, whether they were student athletes or not, or an athlete or not. But with some of these top athletes who have the ability to pull in hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, or at least being valued at that rate, they are now going to be the target of people who, you know, are the good salesmen. They can tell you everything that sounds good, but you have no idea how to read your deal. You don't understand what that means. You don't know if you got to pay them, you know, thousands of dollars on the back end. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that they need that protection. So that's one reason why I protect athletes. It's not about what you're getting right now. It's about setting you up and setting up your life for the future and the generations that's coming behind you. That's what that's about. So that moves me right into NIL Combine. Most people think that NIL Combine is the first event I had. It was actually my book launch, which was in 2021, the year of NIL specifically. We launched the book and had a small event around these issues and talking about, you know, NIL and what it means, what it looks like, you know, what the statutes are looking like at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I needed a different platform that spoke directly to student athletes that would give them full-on insight, even things that I may not know. Because, listen, I'm going to stay up in my lane. My lane is the law, and I love it. I love it here.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like it's important, and not only that, but responsible. If I'm going to call myself a protector of athletes, the responsible thing to do is to surround those who connect with me to be educated by those who understand NIL in a different space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just talking about professional athletes. Okay, you have NIL. You're making money because of your name, because of your talent. So as a student athlete, how can you multiply that now? How can you create something that that can become a financial bedrock for you when you transition from college? And guess what? Like Angel Reese said, she was like, I ain't got to go to WNBA. Why would I go to WNBA? I'm making more money than a professional female basketball player is making right now. How do you multiply it? Right? I can tell you from a legal perspective how you can make money off your name, how you can protect that. But a financial advisor, financial strategist, a tax strategist, like these are going to be the people in addition to your lawyer that's going to help you to sit there and multiply. Figure out how can I 10 time this? How can I even take money from this and invest it in something else? Maybe even invest in another business venture. Right? So I knew that creating the NIL Combine was a way for me to bring experts in various fields to talk about holistically what NIL is. Because it's not just about the monetization. It's about you being able to leverage and understanding what that means, but also being able to protect it long term. Because if you don't have control over your NIL, somebody else will come and get it. Yeah, NIL Combine, the number one premier event for name, image, and likeness. We want to, you know, break down certain barriers that have existed for years, especially when it comes to black and brown athletes.
So tell them about 2023's NIL Combine.
Man, I'm so excited. I'm super excited for 2023 NIL Combine. It's probably giving me a few gray hairs, too. But I'm super excited about it. So this would be the first time that we shoot live for the event. It's a 3-day event. You could say 2.5. The first day, so it's July 27th through the 29th. The first day is specifically for student athletes. Other individuals can join if they want to, but it's that content is specifically curated for student athletes. That would be completely virtual. And then the 28th and the 29th are in person. We will stream that virtually. And we've made the decision, too, to allow all student athletes to come free, but they have to register, like, ASAP. Yeah, because we have limited space. So we would need the registration ASAP for the student athletes. But I'm excited because we have so much more information now. Last year was great.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get some amazing testimonials and amazing aha moments. One student athlete talked about how the event was the best that she had ever attended. Like, she's been to in-person and virtual all-day events, and she was like, I just never experienced something like this before. So I know that we're on the right trajectory, of supporting student athletes. I do think that our event, especially for this year, is going to set us apart from some of our major competitors and those who are hosting events similar to this, because unlike them, we aim to dive deep. We aim to provide student athletes and their advocates, that's parents, coaches, athletic directors, whoever is in your corner supporting you, so that they understand how to identify your NIL. Even if you understand, like, if you're working with a professional, they should be able to identify, okay, this is a whole nother piece of your intellectual property. We have to figure out how we're gonna leverage or protect this or monetize. You know what I'm saying? So it's important not just for the student athlete to understand it, but for those who they're working with to understand it also, so they can provide that maximum support and protection. So yeah, so this year be 2.5 days. The last day I want to do a social. So I'm really hoping that people come in person so we can do that and really network with each other. I do think it will be a really good experience, especially for student athletes, because we got to get back in these rooms. I know the pandemic did a lot of, oh my gosh, it did a lot of stuff to us, and there's been struggles with students having to creating those interpersonal relationships. But I'm telling you, being able to communicate and connect and cultivate those relationships is the thing that is going to take you places in your future, period, point blank. And so understanding how to navigate those rooms is, oh my gosh, it's probably more important than the content itself. You know, so yeah, I'm excited about it. We are currently wrapping up with some of the speakers who are confirming that they're coming, so I can't wait to launch that information. But I'm excited that you're gonna be there.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I have it on my calendar, and I'm really excited about that. So you and everybody else know I'm a book lover, okay? So you have two books. One of them is What Are You Sporting About? And the second one is Athletes Making Moves. Am I correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
So, and she has a podcast with the same name, What Are You Sporting About? So tell everybody about that, and then how can everybody find you?
Absolutely. So What Are You Sporting About podcast, it really came on the back of the book. I needed a way to have more deeper conversations about the issues that I was seeing with professional athletes. So there are a few. So if you guys want to follow these different platforms, I'm going to throw them out to you. What Are You Sporting About? Same at What Are You Sporting About? Instagram, Facebook. If you are a student athlete and you want more of that curated student athlete information on NIL, then you want to follow Athletes Making Moves. That is also on Facebook and Instagram at Athletes Making Moves, or you can go to the website athletesmakingmoves.com. If you want to follow me personally, my legal page, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at S. Elder Burroughs Law. That's also my LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn has this weird thing, so you have to do like the /in/S. Elder Burroughs Law to find me there. But I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at S. Elder Burroughs Law. But yeah, I would love to connect with anyone. If you're interested in NIL Combine, definitely come and join us. You can go to bit.ly/NIL Combine 2023. bit.ly/NIL Combine 2023, but you have to make sure NIL Combine is in all caps because it's case specific. And don't sleep on these books, because these books are changing people's lives.
Oh yeah, I was quite. I bought the book for my members of the Advanced Academy for Athletes Making Moves, because it had information per state, and so just to even to get your mind of looking at your state and questions to ask, and oh my goodness, because a lot of state high schools are meeting now to with their legislatures to decide whether they're going to do it. And so, you know, I just saw the president from Virginia State on something, you know, fighting for it. So even if you're not the person doing the talking, they're definitely going to come to you to ask you for the talking point. So you need to get this book.
Right, exactly. And I'm telling you, like, if so much has changed, I know we're going to have to produce another book because it's just so much that has changed. But the reason why I wrote Athletes Making Moves is because the basis, the foundation of NIL has always been a thing. So when you understand that piece, it doesn't really matter about the state law specifically in the college space, because now you'll know really how to protect your deals and understanding your deals, you know, from a higher level than just you being able to monetize in college.
Well, we're getting ready to close out here, but I just want to say this. I watched Air, the movie Air, about Nike twice, and that was the start of it all, in a sense of being having autonomy over your name, image, and likeness. Because when he was the first one that said, "I want to have a percentage of the purchasing of the item that has my name on it."
Exactly.
And that started it all. So go watch the movie, and then it'll get your mind right how to protect yourself. So I want to say thank you so much, Attorney DeBarros, for joining me today. It has been a delight to have you.
Thank you for having me. This was great. Love it.
Yes. And as always, I want to say thank you to Jonla Harrison of Refined Solutions for serving as my engineer. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates, I'm going to put all of those places where to find you on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A. Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.